This is the January 26 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists for the day include Naomi Bloom. She is with TotalFarmMarketing.com out of West Bend, Wisconsin. Alan Brugler joins us from his office in Omaha, Nebraska. He's with Brugler Marketing and Management. Merrill Crowley is here from Watsika, Illinois and AgTraderTalk.com. And Ellen Dearden joins us as well from Morton, Illinois at Ag Review. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Let's begin today with Ellen Dearden from Ag Review. She's in Morton, Illinois. Ellen, thank you for taking some time with us as we're recording on a Friday morning. I do want to talk about the cycles just a bit with you. And some others follow these fairly closely. I came up under Dan Zwicker, and of course, I follow the cycles. Where do you think we are for corn and soybeans at this point in time?
Well, let's talk first about the beans, because I think that is a really important thing. As we talk here the middle of the day in looking at the futures markets, we've basically given back most of what we gained in the nearby beans since that USDA report on January 12th. In the new crop, in the November beans, we've taken out the low we made on January 12th. However, the fact that we made a low the middle of January, I thought was pretty good timing for the cycles, for the short-term cycles, like the 10-week cycle. And I watch a 32-day cycle in beans, and those came at that time. However, in front of us are 16-week and 37-week cycles, which are due to bottom early in February. And I don't know that February 1 or 2, which is the end of next week, or whether it'll be later in the month, because I show a 45-week cycle low coming in February as well. So the fact that we've given back much of the upside in beans that we saw since January 12th does not worry me all that much. I would like to see these March beans hold above the $12 area. 1203 was the low we put in January 12th. But, you know, whether we do that or not, I would have said coming into Friday's trade that it was very likely that we would have higher closes for the week. But from where we're trading right now at noontime, that does not, that's not a given at this stage of the game. But the beans themselves have some bigger lows coming between this fall and the early part of 2025. And those are the two-year and the long three-year cycles that I watch. So on the bean side of things, for the yearly cycle, we could very well put a low in here in February and then make another low as we come into harvest. However, I think we're doing exactly price-wise, direction-wise, what the cycles are telling us in beans. That should be the case. On the corn side of things, I've got late February into late March as pretty critical lows. So I don't have as much confidence that the lows that we're putting in right now in corn, and as we speak, March corn is at 445 and a half, new crop December, 476, that those lows will hold. Keep in mind, February is the insurance discovery time period. We are going to be more than a dollar lower likely on corn than we were a year ago for that insurance guarantee. It was 491, I believe. And on the beans a year ago, we were at 1376. So it looks to me like we will be down nearly $2 from a year ago. So making lows in this February time period is not a particularly bullish sign from my perspective.
So let's talk a little bit about what farmers can, maybe should do as it's related, particularly to soybean sales. Corn might be more interesting, but soybeans, as it lays out in the cycles, appears to be fairly simple, I think. If we get a low in February, another low in August, and that seems likely in these kinds of situations, but who knows, especially given the weather, do you market more new crop soybeans if you can make money, or maybe if you can't, at these prices at this point, even ahead of the February timeframe when you would know what the crop insurance would say? And you do not. Okay.
No, I don't think so. I think you wait for seasonal strength in this May, June, maybe early June timeframe to market beans. But I think you have to be very active about selling beans that you intend to sell before the end of the year. I think you have to be selling hard and selling early. And early is in that planting time period. How many farmers, though, explain, well, I don't know how many bushels I'm going to have. Well, no, you don't. But there are, you know, ways that you can protect yourself with futures or with options that you're not committed to a cash sale.
And the timing sounds right. It is hard to sell when you're planting, but you're probably going to raise a crop, regardless of whether you raise a full crop. What about for corn?
I think corn's maybe a little bit different animal because I don't have a 45-week cycle low coming in corn until late in the summer, maybe into September. But I would think that we'll see some opportunities to do some selling on a seasonal, again, May, June timeframe in the corn as well. The people that I'm really worried about on corn are those who have a huge amount of old crop to sell and are ignoring the fact that a new crop is going to be coming right on its heels. So I think the logistics on corn is basis improvement anytime in here in March or April or May. You got to be selling, continuing to sell into any kind of strength to get rid of old crop. That old crop is not going to be a big market at the end of this summer. There's always guys that want to hold bushels for the tail end of the summer. You know, we're going to see a basis improvement. We're going to see the board go up. And I'd say in 2024, that's not going to be the case.
Let's switch topics. Livestock very quickly. It was really cold last week, and we have a couple of USDA reports related to the cattle market, one we already had and one coming up. What's your view?
Well, we have the cattle on feed report, and that's a monthly report. So we get a pretty up-to-date look at what is the amount of cattle that are in feedlots. This winter market has been tough on animals. Rates of gains really sluggish. But the cattle inventory report that's coming out Wednesday is a semi-annual report. So it's really important, and we will continue to see this herd drop in the U.S., and that is going to be a big takeaway. I guess my question is this going to be the low water mark, this inventory report, the low water mark on numbers, total numbers of cattle in the U.S.?
Thank you.
I just would like to make a comment, and that is Cimarron Frost, who was a longtime person in the Illinois Beef Association and really put together the big premier show in Springfield, died this month. And he was really a big force in the purebred business, but also in promoting the Illinois Beef Association.
Thank you, Ellen, for taking that moment. Just one other quick note. Cimarron Frost conceptualized what you referred to. It's the Illinois Beef Expo. He also worked in a leadership role over that expo for 25 years. It includes the Illinois Performance Tested Bull Sale, which is put on by University of Illinois Extension. That was Ellen Dearden of Ag Review out of Morton, Illinois. We're now joined by Alan Brugler. He's in Omaha, Nebraska, with Brugler Marketing and Management. Alan, thank you for being with us for the morning and recording our Commodity Week program. I'd like to take you back to earlier in the week when there were a couple sets of acreage figures released. Both showed very large numbers for actually both corn and soybean acres in the United States this week. What did you think of them?
What I'm questioning is whether we're really going to get those, you know, that close to year ago numbers, which is what some of these other surveys and analyses are showing. You know, we really stretched the corn acreage last year. We went from 88.16 million in 22 to 94.64. The 10-year average for corn acreage in the U.S. is 90.7. So 23 was almost 4 million acres above the long-term average planting for corn. Beans, of course, have been expanding over the last 10 years, but they were still a million plus under the long-term average for beans. So I'm like, okay, we really stretched our rotations away from soybeans towards corn. Do we have an incentive to do corn on corn and keep it that way, or should we expect that people are going to switch back more to the soybean side? And you know, I look at soy corn ratio 2.49 to 1. That says plant more beans. I look at the crop revenue per acre on a high yielding farm. You know, 220 corn, 75 beans, that type of a farm. It still says plant more beans. So I'm not finding the economic evidence right now, looking at current market prices, that says we ought to keep corn that high and beans that low.
Would you have found the economic evidence last fall, for instance, when some of these decisions might have been made and or fertilizer would have been put into place?
Well, I think the one signal you were getting last fall was anhydrous prices had dropped sharply, and nitrogen in general had dropped sharply. So that made the economics of corn look a little better for this year after having some rather painful costs for the input the year before. But to capture that, you needed to lock in forward pricing for this fall. And in my sense, talking to our clients, we've nudged them a little bit, but talking to our clients and others is that farmers didn't do a lot of forward selling for this fall.
Right. So when you put this all into place, for the 2024 growing season, the new crop, what should farmers be considering?
Well, there's still a couple wild cards. Obviously, if Brazil has fewer acres and then has a crop, which appears to be the case now compared to what they were looking at last year, and if they do in fact get some crop problems, and maybe Argentina doesn't quite have the yield that we currently think they're going to get, then you could get away with or justify maybe sticking with a little heavier corn rotation. But what I'm setting people up to say is, okay, what if that acreage number on March 31st is actually lower for corn and higher for beans? You know, what's our positioning got to be? We know seasonally the market, neither market of those two, typically puts in a high in February. In fact, the last time the high for the year for December corn was in February was 1984. So that's a long time ago. So this is probably not the time to be locking in a lot of pricing. You may need defensive pricing short term. You may need to have some put spreads on or something of that nature. But I'm looking for some sort of a rally. That said, we have short crop, long tail. Typically, we're going to overproduce in this kind of environment coming off a 10-year high. And the market, you know, by 25 is probably going to be lower. So rallies are meant to be sold.
How big a rally is meant to be sold?
You know, there's a lot of moving parts there. I think the our techno fundamental, you know, tables, which look at average annual trading ranges, said we could still see a rally to 550 or 560 just given normal price variability over the course of the year. What we're lacking right now is that trigger, you know, that perception that stocks are going to get tighter. Most of the preliminary estimates that are out there actually have corn stocks stuck at 2 billion bushels or growing a little bit. And you know, plus or minus 50 million bushels on beans. So you need to get off of dead center on those to really feed the rally.
As it relates to acreage and farmer decisions, March 31 will be probably far too late for them to make a lot of new decisions related to what the planting season looks like. So their acreage, if they've not already made, will be making those decisions, I would think, in the next 60 days. When they make the decision, if they change away from their rotation, for instance, they decide to put more soybean acres in, do they need to make a sale of soybeans?
Well, yeah, I think if you're making a heavier commitment to the beans, or corn, either one, if you're going to get away from what's historically been your pattern, you're taking on more risk, and you need to pass that risk off. But the key is, are you making money? Okay, is 440 D's corn or 480 D's corn gonna work for you financially? Is it just going to cover your costs, or are you actually going to make a little money? Same thing with the beans. If your input costs have crept up over the last few years, and you know what's your break even? If you're going to extend for whatever reason, you know. What I've been telling people over the last several months is if you're locking in your inputs, you probably need to have some forward sales on the books to cover that exposure, because we are, while inflation's coming down, the core PCE number released today, ex food and energy, was 2.9% year over year. That the Fed's target long term is 2%. We're still in a high inflation environment, and the risk in a high inflation environment is that you get squeezed on margins. All right, either your input costs go up and you don't cover it with your selling price, or conversely, you lock in high input costs and then your price goes down without locking it in. So you need to manage that risk by some space selling, I think.
That's Alan Brugler. He is with Brugler Marketing and Management out of Omaha, Nebraska, and we're now joined by Naomi Bloom. She's with Total Farm Marketing in West Bend, Wisconsin. Naomi, I want to start in a different space with you and talk upfront, at least, primarily about the consumption side of the supply and demand table. Let's begin with the livestock sector, and you can talk me through whichever parts of it you would like. However, it seems to me that cattle and that market might be a good position where we could begin. What do you see there?
Well, we had a nice slow rally higher for the live cattle futures and for the feeder cattle complex. You know, if you recall, back in October, November, the cattle market really just started to crash lower when the USDA had said that there was going to be more imports of cattle from both Canada and Mexico. And so that notion of these increased imports is what sent the market lower, because we had been trading for years the idea of a smaller herd, demand had been keeping up. And so just that slight notion of larger supplies weighed on the market, pushing cattle futures, all the way down. I'm just looking right now at a April contract. We got down to 166 area after being up at $2 in the fall. So where the market is at today, we're near 181 on the April contract, and we've done exactly a 50% Fibonacci retracement correction from a technical perspective. So this was a healthy correction. It's a justified correction. We've had some better news of cash cattle. So cash cattle prices were higher this week, Wednesday and Thursday. The five-week weighted area average price was at 174.95, up from 173.5 last week. Weekly export sales this week came in at 22,000 tons, and that was up from last week. And this has been the highest we've been since February of 2023. So this is some good news. So we're seeing export demand pick up. We're seeing the cash market pick up. We're seeing a nice technical correction, but now we're at the point of pause. And so we're near 100-day moving average, 200-day moving average on charts, and now the market is at the point of, okay, we have every reason to be where we are, but do we have any bullish news coming to take us up further above and beyond this current price point? And so that news is probably not going to come until next week on Wednesday. On Wednesday afternoon is the cattle inventory report. It's the annual report from the USDA. And that's going to give us guidance then. That's going to set the tone, I feel, for the first half here of 2024. So we know that the herd has been just kind of, not really rebuilding, but now we're going to get some specific breakdown of all the numbers. So that's the market mover for next week. And just want everyone to have a heads up of where we are from a technical fundamental perspective going into that report.
Are the expectations that it will show a herd that is rebuilding?
Well, that's what I'm not totally sure of. I could see, there's talk that, they're in general, the herd is still, not growing by leaps and bounds. But we'll at least get some specific numbers on heifer retention. We'll get numbers to know, what's on feed, what's out with pasture, and maybe another clue as far as any type of further imports that may be lingering and coming on in. So I think that the report will be scrutinized, and I'm not sure what fully to expect on it. So be ready for anything. I've been looking at doing some hedging with clients because of the value recovery that we've had here. And I mean, really, it's going to take some over-the-top news to get the market to work substantially higher. So I think we're going to see and understand that in general, we're going to have still tight supplies from historical level, but how tight, how much is that going to be friendly against expectations? That's the question, and we have not seen any pre-report estimates for it yet.
This number, along with other figures that come from USDA related to the livestock, poultry, as well as the hogs, make up a large sector of consumption for corn in the United States, bean meal for that matter. Are there issues in other areas, avian influenza, for instance, or problems with the export markets in one of those that we need to be watching? And how does this all roll back in to the corn and soybeans?
Well, with USDA on that most recent USDA report back in January, they did increase corn demand for feed. So that was encouraging. I just saw that the most recent egg set that had come out was an increase. So there's, going to be more poultry that's going to be needing feed in the coming weeks and months. We're keeping an eye on our hog market. We know that the Chinese herd is getting culled. So from one aspect, that's negative for feed demand. But we're not really seeing any big changes necessarily with our herd. So I think that from the feed demand perspective, it's going to be a constant number unless we see any big outbreaks of illness with our herd here this winter. I have not heard any rumblings of anything yet. Thankfully, everyone seems to be healthy, but that is always something that could be lurking in the back that could weigh on demand for grains.
The other side of that consumption figure is ethanol and demand for it. Last week, not very good. That mostly probably because of the very cold weather. Ethanol usage domestically and on the export market hanging in well at this point?
Well, yeah, last week not so great, to your point, because of the cold weather. But I feel like, I'm just looking outside my back door here and people are driving around like crazy. I think the demand is still going to be there, and winter is come and go depending on weather, as you know. So we'll see if we have any just kind of steady numbers for ethanol in the coming weeks or an uptick in demand. I have heard that basis levels across portions of the Midwest continue in some places to be attractive because farmers have shut their bin doors, and so some of these places are having to try to raise basis in order to lure grain out, but it is a talking point to be watching, absolutely, in the next USDA report. That'll be on February. I don't think we see a lot of big tweaks on the February USDA report, but we will keep an eye, of course, on all of those demand factors, along with, of course, weather in South America. That's going to be the biggest market mover, if we can get a market mover, is keeping an eye on weather in both Brazil and Argentina, because essentially, if you look at the most recent USDA report, all of the demand is spoken for the Argentina corn crop and the Brazil corn crop. And, with Brazil, 75% of that corn hasn't even been planted yet. So there's a lot of weather that we need to be watching going forward. in terms of what can get grain price values to start moving, or if we're going to just kind of be hunkering down here in the lower price points in the coming weeks or not.
What do you think will happen?
Well, I think that we'll see some sort of a price recovery bounce, but here's the deal. With this 2 billion bushel carryout hanging over us, it's just a killer. So I think we get a recovery bounce into Valentine's Day. Seasonally, we would get something, but that might be as good as it gets. Now, here's the breakdown on that Brazil number. So they're expected, according to the USDA, to grow 127 million metric tons between first crop and second crop. That's down from last year's number of 137. Now, their demand between domestic demand and exports is at 131.5. So their demand is already stronger than what they're going to grow. And like I said, three quarters of that crop is not yet planted in the ground. So I would think that that gives the market some sort of a reason to have a weather scare enough to get grain moving here in the heartland and get farmers to be selling things. But unless it's a dramatic weather issue, just make sure that producers are using any rally that we see as a pricing opportunity. Again, because we have this 2 billion bushel carryout just hanging over us, and with the perception of slightly larger ending stocks in the United States for soybeans than what it had been in December, that's hanging over the market, and the soybean crop in South America seems to be good enough. So, we're running out of news to get us to run, and it's up to Mother Nature, quite frankly, at this point, to see the story change and get markets to move higher. But again, I do think we'll see a little bit of a recovery bounce, but make sure you sell it.
Naomi Bloom is with TotalFarmMarketing.com, joined us from West Bend, Wisconsin. From Watseka, Illinois, we're now joined by Merrill Crowley of AgTraderTalk.com. Merrill, I know that you follow the technicals really pretty closely. Can you give me your vision of where those are for the corn market and maybe move into the other commodities as well?
Basically, as far as corn and beans are concerned, the corn market, you look at it and what you got is a downtrend. I mean, it's screaming at you, that's what's going on. And everybody's trying to catch the falling knife and catch the lows. Currently, the low is 436. We had this nice bounce up, and it went to 53.25. Now today, we're down kind of hard again. I've got roughly 5 to 4.5 lower. So what I'm seeing here is a lot of times these retracements, which is what I'm still calling this, can have a three-wave move. So far, I haven't got the down move finished for another move up if we are going to get it. Sometimes that's inter-market spreads or inter-market, like a 5 or an hour-long chart that actually shows up that ABC-type pattern. We went back up to the 51.75 that we broke on the report day. And as far as I'm concerned, those highs on the report day are key. We have to get above them to say, okay, we don't believe what's in those January reports, at least the market doesn't. Well, what we did after we went down to 436, we came back up to 51, made a high at 53, but failed. And that speaks volumes. All the market was doing was retesting to see if that resistance was going to hold at 51.75. And that's what I see right now. We need to get back. I'd like to see us get back to a rally of 479.25, but weak markets usually don't go much past 382. And if they're really weak, the 382 is a Fibonacci number. You have 618, 50%, and 382%. And those are the most common talked about, but there's another one at 236%. And a really weak market will not break above that, and it hasn't. So it has both it tested the resistance or the support that we had broken on January. We've come back up and tested that again and failed. So I think this market looks to be going lower. Going over the beans right now in the March beans, again, you look at it, it's a big downtrend. I think we've got another wave down, unfortunately. I look at the retracements from the high we had in November. We couldn't get back to the 236. We did, however, manage to go above the high of report day, but that failed. So again, that speaks volume. That report day is still valid. So and it's basically negative. Again, I don't necessarily see the three-wave move for a retracement back up. If we did, you might be able to see beans get up around 51. I was hoping for some more bullish news out of South America to maybe close that gap up above, but we didn't get it. Matter of fact, the last thing I read on that basically said the spot bids were a dime lower, around minus 110 to minus $1.30, while the April values were also weaker to minus 10 to minus, I'm sorry, minus $1 to $1.20 in Brazil. Soybeans bought for shipment to China in February, March, and April out of Brazil are $2.14 bushel lower than what you can get them out of the Gulf. And that, to me, says, you know, we've got to change that. You know, it's simple supply demand. I mean, you can look at charts, you can look at fundamentals, and the supply and demand right now, we either don't have the demand, even though like the bean supply is fairly tight, or we don't have the supply, or we have too much supply like we have in the corn for the demand that we're seeing. So it's something we've got to balance out. And right now, it perplexes me. I hear everybody trying to make some positives for this market. And I understand that we're all pretty gloom and doom, even the reporters. But right now, I don't see it. What I do see positively is that we have some gaps, or I have some cycles where we have a two-year soybean cycle due in March, 32-week low due in April, and I'm looking for this year to have an early low because of this. If we get that low, then we should see a decent rally after these two cycles end. Then we have to look forward to the three-year cycle low in May. So you're seeing a pattern of moving up, possibly seasonally into June, July, after some sort of low, and I'm looking basically around March, April for those lows. Going back into history, at least to 2012 early lows, 6 April, 3 May, 3 March. The average rally off of those is $2.60. For corn, and I'm also looking basically for the same thing in corn, I've got 11 early lows, 5 in April, 4 in May, 1 in June, and 1 in March. The average rally off of that low is 68 cents. So once we get our lows in, it looks like we're going to get a fairly decent rally. And that's, I guess, what I'm looking for and looking to price on.
Can you put fundamentals to those technicals? I think that's an exercise that happens fairly often. Is it just that the crop in South America, for instance, might be one fundamental, is smaller or as small or smaller than many are expecting at this point? Is it that renewable diesel demand looks better, that China is in the market? I mean, these are all things that are possible, but what fundamentals do you use to support your technical look forward?
Right now, your biggest competitor in Brazil is quite a bit lower than you are. So your biggest customer is going to go to them. Plus, we're seeing the values of those beans in the bean mill in China dropping because their demand is not that great because their hog herd is too high. They're trying to reduce their hog herd. Their population is decreasing, although it's not that large compared to the entire population. But on top of that, the extra cost, if you got to go through the Panama Canal, or if you are trying to avoid the Suez Canal, those costs have added up. I think they doubled for container shipment. I see several things right now that aren't looking that good. On the positive side, you know, we're starting to see India's kind of been sitting out there sleeping, and we know that's one of the bigger population-based countries. And we're slowly starting to see some demand changes for them. They are using quite a bit of more corn. They are raising better corn. But the extra stocks that they have on hand are dwindling. So all it would take is a little bit of a weather problem in India, and they might be in the market for some corn. You got this election year going on. And I just don't see the people that are trying to run wanting commodity prices to start running away again in inflation. And yet you have something like an 87% chance that you'll see another bout of inflation. And so with all that coming, Yeah, I see lows. I see early lows. We could have a weather problem with planning issues. There's right now they're talking about wet situation for planning issues and delays in plantings. That could help move the market up. You could see something going on Brazil weather-wise. They're talking about a little drier weather for Argentina and maybe hitting Brazil again. But that's mainly going to focus on the corn. There's several things out here that could turn this market around. It's just I don't see them right now.
Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. You may find and listen to the whole of the program anytime you'd like. You can do that on our website at willag.org, willag.org, or search out Commodity Week in your favorite podcast applications. Our thanks go to our panelists today, including Ellen Dearden of Ag Review, Merrill Crowley of AgTraderTalk.com, Naomi Bloom of TotalFarmMarketing.com, and from Brugler Marketing and Management, Alan Brugler. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.